Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome,
hey,
everybody.
Happy Wednesday. Oh, go ahead, Chuck. Chuck's on the road, so you can't see him. So
this is Chuck from Parker. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, straight up, brought to you by.
It's brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine with Dr. Jack Schaefer. Also, happytrees.co and Denver Cenogenics. Chuck is on the road, but he's calling. He's joining us by phone. Had some busy stuff going on today. Hey, at 3:15, we're going to be talking to Casper Stockham, wrapping up our series of interviews with all of the Republican Party chair candidates. So he'll join us at 3:15. But Chuck, did you want to start off? This goes right into what you wanted to talk about. Thomas, our great producer, was just sharing us some pictures from something called the Greater Idaho Movement. Chuck, where Idaho wants to absorb parts of California and Oregon and things like that. And you've been talking about how, you know, we wanted to talk about the national divorce here in a second, although this is not a divorce and it's a sort of an absorption. But you said, you know, states all around us are going more and more grassroots, right? And Idaho, I guess, is taking it on steroids now.
Yeah, well, as a practical matter, I've been listening to our friend Dick Wadhams going on Casper's show, not Casper's show, on Dan Kaplis's show and various other shows. All decrying that, and he wrote a big article for the Colorado Gazette saying, no matter who we nominate or actually get elected for state chair, it'll be a grassroots person, therefore it'll be a disaster for the Republican Party and a disaster for Colorado.
Like the establishment party hasn't been, right? Like they've been doing so great.
They've been doing so great. We've done, you know, this 2022 was just super. We lost state Senate seats. We stayed House seats. We got slaughtered in every one, notwithstanding the fact that he had every one of his Rhino candidates got in the primary because Democrats went independent and voted in the Republican primaries, including Pam Anderson, who was part of the Zucker box, including Joe O'Day, who's an abortion Barbie.
And it was going to, and they would actively campaign against Trump should he become the Republican candidate for president. It's like, I know.
Right. Well, and he said he would not support anybody who was a grassroots person, but we ought to unite. And he's going on saying, no, the real problem is Trump here in Colorado. When Trump finally dies or all memory of him expires, then Dick Wadhams and the Rhinos will be ready to come in and take over. But it's a practical matter. The movement in Colorado has happened all around us. You're talking about Idaho, a woman named Dorothy Moon, who was defeated for Secretary of State. Grassroots beat the establishment one for party chair. Over in Kansas, Mike Brown threw out the establishment chair. In Nebraska, Pete Ricketts, who's like Phil Anschutz, very extremely wealthy billionaire who supplied most of the money for the party operations, his candidate was thrown out of office, and Mike Brown, a grassroots person, was elected. Yeah. And in Idaho with Dorothy Moon, Nebraska, Eric Underwood, throughout the Rhino, chair. So all around us, people are going, no, we're tired of Rhinos. We're not going to play the Republican establishment game. And I think we've got a great chance, with people like Casper and Dave Williams and Aaron Brown and Aaron Wood. So I think it's wonderful that we will finally get some grassroots people, and hopefully they won't betray us. I mean, we've tried umpteen times. Steve House from Adams County was supposed to be grassroots. And we had
Christy Burton Brown
supposed to be grassroots. And they prevent Susan Becker from Beckman from being party chair. They brought in Ken Buck from Washington, so he could do two jobs and not really be the chair, not be here at all.
Right.
And so it's really exciting to time for one. And, you know, every publication, because either controlled by the left or controlled by the center left, which is still Anschutz these days, trashes all our candidates, trashes every grassroots person, every radio show, with the exception of Randy Corbin's and Kim Munson's.
Kim Munson.
Trash the grassroots. So we're just going to have to get used to not being loved.
Well, yeah. Well, we kind of are, right? And you know, yeah. I mean, you're right, and I think so much. Some of it, I think, in Colorado has a lot to do with the fact that, to a certain extent, you know, the establishment, they've been in charge for so long, and we just keep losing, right? And I think there are a lot of people who are like, okay, it's insanity to keep doing it. We don't care if the big donors don't help us. I mean, there's no point. There's no point in having a Republican Party if we're not even going to really try to win. I also think, though, it ties into the general sort of red pilling. Don't you think that's going on in America? Number one, people who maybe wouldn't have gotten involved in politics, which really are the real grassroots people, right? Like Aaron Wood was saying, he wasn't paying very much attention. And all of a sudden, he's seeing all this transgender stuff going on at schools and at you know, county fairs and things like that. And parents are being slammed at school board meetings, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I think that has a lot to do with it, too, in terms of the grassroots movement really grew because it really is grassroots. It's people waking up and saying, wait a minute. No, I don't want this. This is what the people in charge are trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point in having just one more squishy Republican or traitorous Republican in case of Chrissy Burton Brown. They can't get elected. If they do get elected, they're feckle and worthless. Who wants Mitt Romney as their senator?
Right.
Really, you want Mitt Romney?
Well, you know, Liz Cheney. And I think, you know, you look at what happened to Liz Cheney there. And I think it's right. And I think also, in a way, I mean, this is when it becomes dangerous, right? Because, again, as we keep saying, there are more of us than there are of them. And that's why in Colorado, they're trying to do things like get rid of the caucus, get rid of the assembly, get rid of the primary altogether, because they realize that if they actually let people vote, people will not vote for them. And they can't have that. But I think, you know, the question is where does it go? Does it keep going? Where do you see it going? Do you think it'll happen here in Colorado, too, one way or another, unless there's some weird, you know, establishment floor nomination, which sometimes we hear rumors of, but then you hear rumors that it's not going to happen. You know, and Eric Adelman, I think, is a big question mark. But I will say he says the right grassroots things. I think he has establishment backing. But it looks like Colorado could very well go grassroots as well, right?
Well, sure. But then they get rid of the state party by people like Barb Kirkmeyer saying, yeah, we'll get rid of assemblies. It won't matter anymore. The only way you can get on is with money and a petition. So they're always thinking of, okay, you know, how do we change the rules so we always remain on top? And they do it, you know, the Democrats do it to us, and then the establishment does it to us. And hopefully people get sick of it. I think they are. I mean, I think there were a lot of county assemblies where grassroots people got elected.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think
it's
really encouraging.
What do you attribute it to? I mean, I said what I kind of think, where it's coming from.
Well, I think people are paying attention. They're looking at their state party and kind of going, these aren't people who represent what I think. I mean, they're all pro drag shows and trannies and whatever else. I mean, wait a minute. What kind of party do we have? I mean, it's always been, party structure has always been a bit hidden from people because it's very a serpentine, as you know, all the rules and bylaws and which meeting and everything else. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden people have started to pay attention and go, No, we don't want, you know, the commitment to Colorado, which is a bunch of pablum about affordability. I mean, you know, no, that's not what we want. We do not want Joe O'Day, Pam Anderson. I mean, give credit to the establishment. It is amazing, you know, how the grassroots, we never get any alliances, right? I mean, so in Wyoming, the Democrats, along with the Rhinos, control the legislature, same in Texas.
Right.
And here in Colorado, they changed the rules so that all of a sudden independents can vote in Republican elections. And so Democrats have whole campaigns to transfer over to be independents and then and go right back so they can control everything. And the fact that, you know, Colorado Gazette keeps on running Dick Wadham's articles on, you know, if we don't have the independents, you know, we can't possibly win, and we should let the independents choose who our candidates are, especially when they're really Democrat operatives pretending to be independents.
Right, exactly. Well, let me read a couple of comments here. This is from Dr. Donna. Too many citizens have taken up the cry to have only those on the ballot who are electable. What the heck does that even mean? It means, Dr. Donna, that they have the money to pay the consultants. That's what it means, and that's what the consultants want. And then she says, Eric is playing word games, political speak, as he may sound grassroots now, but too many forget that he what he was saying before. Oh, and then she's talking about rent control that passed the Colorado House. I've not looked to see if it passed the Senate. It's there in the Senate. Well, and that's the kind of thing we're talking about. I think not only are people waking up, but also, though, as the Democrats have gone crazier, and we can talk about the national divorce a little bit later on after Casper, but as they see how crazy things have gone, I mean, you know, like they actually really are talking about banning gas stoves. The Denver mayoral race, the Denver City Council, this is one of the big things that they want to do is they want to ban gas stoves, gas utilities, gas things. Now, who cares about what that's going to do to housing prices, things like that, right? So they, on one hand, say, oh, we care about affordability. And then on the other hand, they do everything they can to make things so unaffordable that nobody can live in Denver. I mean, but people look at that, at rent control, things like that, as the Democrats go more crazy, and they see there are no Republicans standing up for them. Right? You know, the Republicans just, I don't know. I think that the lack of courage and spine on the part of a lot of our Republican elected officials is astonishing. And I think the grassroots, that's why I think you're seeing this resurgence, too, is they're saying, hey, we just want somebody who's going to, like Trump, right, who's going to fight for us, who's going to stand up for us, and, you know, who's going to do what they say they're going to do. Kind of minor things, really.
Well, it's absolutely true. And the state legislature, as Susan Moore has pointed out, is going farther and farther to the left. The Republicans go farther and farther to the left. There's only maybe a handful in the House and two or three in the Senate that are Republicans that you could consider to be conservative. And all the rest are rhinos.
Right.
I mean, they're just, they always were. You know, my favorite one, Kevin Proyle used to be my favorite one until he went over to the Democratic Party, which made it no more fun. Our representative Adam, Gabe Evans. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, and I think here's what people again need to realize. When, you know, you talk about with the open primary, what the Democrats do is, they do one of two things. Either one, they meddle financially to get the weakest Republican to win so they know they can beat them, or they essentially put in what is really just a fake Republican. It's a person who's not a real Republican at all. They just put an R behind their name, and somehow we're supposed to support that person because they have an R there when they've never been a Republican before, right? I mean, and
well,
I think
as they've been a reporter, all of Weld County is now left wing. All the Republicans in Weld County that have any power are left wing because they've taken over. You know, they made sure that all the people who were elected, because the Democrats couldn't win, were very, very liberal Republicans.
Right. Well, and I would even say we've seen in other states they're fake Republicans, right? I mean, we played videotape on our show in other states where people were saying, no, I'm a Democrat, but I became a Republican because I need to be a Republican to run in this race. But no, I'm a Democrat. I mean, they just flat out say that, you know?
I must admit, even Denver, I mean, if you're a Republican, you cannot win an office, so you run as a Democrat. But the Republicans just seem to always accept it. So this is encouraging, I think. I mean, I think we finally have a chance, and it's not that once we win the party, they won't bankrupt it, but I'd rather have a bankrupt party to stand for something than a well-funded party that stands for nothing.
Well, exactly. And so I think what, you know, we're talking about, so who we've talked on the show, we've talked to Kevin Lundberg, Dave Williams, Tina Peters, Aaron Wood, Casper, Am I forgetting anybody? I don't think so. And theoretically, and again, you know, and Dr. Donna raises the point, and I've raised a point about Eric Godlin too. But all of these candidates are grassroots, and so at least they're saying grassroots things, right? And again, they can, once they get in power, they can do anything. But what do you think then? Let's just assume because that it goes as, you know, as we think it's going to go, and a grassroots state party chair does come in. What do you think? Will the establishment do just exactly what Dick Wadham says, and that's okay? We're going to pick up all our toys and go home. Then, which, good riddance, by the way.
Well, they'll try to bribe him entice him or somehow get him to do their bidding. And if they won't, then yeah, they'll withdraw all their money. But who cares? I mean, it's like Dave Williams said, we don't need office space.
Right.
Screw the office space. We don't need, you know, these people.
Brownstein Law Firm.
Yeah, Brownstein Law Firm. Well, you know, that. Why do we pay them $5,000 plus a month, you know?
Well, and I think people will, the smaller donors, and again, it's not the same, but will contribute if they have a party that they can believe in. And like you said, it's encouraging that it's not just happening here. It's encouraging, it's happening in other states around us, at least so that are potentially red states, you know. And while we're waiting for Casper to come on, I don't see him yet, but that kind of leads me to the whole idea. Oh, you are here. Oh, Casper, I didn't see you there. I'm sorry. You should interrupt us. So, okay, you want to go ahead and turn on your camera? There you are.
Yeah.
All right, Casper Stockham, candidate for state GOP chair. First, I have to ask you, I saw your Twitter. I follow you on Twitter, and I saw you're in are you okay? You're in a bad, that's a nasty car crash the other day.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. The only thing that got hurt in my hand.
Oh my gosh.
With hairline fracture or something like that in my hand.
Ooh.
But that was about it.
You're okay, though? Everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's always...
I was in Fremont County that same night. So.
Oh, there you go. You know. Wow. All right. Well, let me ask you.
Let me ask you one thing. That since, you know, we last first had you on, I guess.
You were like the only person.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You were like, you said, well, I mean, not be your favorite person, but I'm a real grassroots person in the race. And then all of a sudden, five or four other people.
Yeah, Chuck
have
and I are
going to
run
lane.
Out too. Just kidding. Yeah.
That's correct. So there are now more grassroots people in the race, Chuck. And I've been listening to the interviews from the other candidates. And, you know, I've said this on the debate stage. I said, look, there's no bad candidate running for chair right now. We can all run the party. The difference that we have to realize, and Chuck, I don't know if you're going to agree with me or not, but I know there's, you know, all the stuff you guys have been talking about for the past 10 minutes. You know, we got all those challenges. You know, the money could pick up and leave. I'm like, well, okay, we'll see you later, because we really don't even need the money. We can do it ourselves. If we have the willingness to do $15 a month, we can get this handled pretty quick. In fact, we would raise more money with the grassroots, with the, you know, with the average Republican voter, than big money ever even dangled in our face. So, you know, but we have to do outreach. It comes down to outreach and uniting. And nobody, and you guys know this, right? We've been standing shoulder to shoulder on a lot of these issues. You guys know I'm the only one that even understands outreach enough to do it. I'm doing it now, but I mean, I could do it on a statewide scale pretty quickly.
Well, and I'll say this, Casper, it, to your credit, you've been talking about outreach. I don't know how long we've known you, years.
Exactly.
And I would say this, not only talking about outreach, but doing outreach. You've complained about the fact that, and you're talking about outreach and communities where minority communities where normally the Republicans don't go. I mean, you have been doing that in Denver. So talk to folks, because you're not just saying that.
Let me add one thing, because Casper and I were on the executive committee together. And Priscilla was saying, you know, I want to do outreach, but I need a budget. And so she very modestly proposed $5,000 so she could travel around the state doing outreach. Priscilla just, KBB killed it. KBB killed it. She just made sure that she had no money. And so that's how much outreach the Republican Party up to now has been willing to do.
Right. You know, we all, I think we had a majority of us voted for it. Chuck, myself, Randy, and others voted for it. And then 2 days later, we get an email from the chair saying, yeah, you know, we didn't follow procedure. It has to be, any budget item has to be proposed by the chair. Otherwise, it's not valid. So I'm like, okay, well, then make it valid. You're the chair.
Yeah, you're the chair. Well, let me have you explain to folks, because you've been, like I said, and I just think it people need to understand, you don't just talk about it. You've been doing it forever, for years. Yeah. So, and yeah. I know you've been active in the Ethiopian community in the Aurora area. What kinds of stuff have you been doing, and would you continue to do if you were elected chair?
Yeah. Let me explain to the folks what outreach actually looks like. So first of all, we need more youth involvement in our party. We have young Republicans who have formed organizations like the Colorado Young Republicans, the high school Republicans, but they're kind of floundering because there is no real connection to the actual GOP.
Right.
I was at the Colorado Young Republicans relaunch because they tried this a couple of times. There's a relaunch last week. I was the only candidate that was there. They like my plan because my plan engages them immediately in this process. I want to form several nonprofit organizations, and they could be one of them, to where we actually go out and do good works in the community. And then I go to the big money that's still left. You know, there's some good big money people out there, like Steve Shook down in Colorado Springs and Steve Wells up in Weld County. So we can reach out to them and say, look, we have 20 young Republicans that are going out to do X, Y, Z in the community. You know, we just need a couple of bucks, $5,000, $10,000, whatever. And then that will help us raise some money for the party as well, doing that, right? So that's just one element. Also, I've reached out to Scott Pressler because, you know, we've been talking about legal ballot harvesting, and Chuck has a lot of knowledge on that as well. Well, guess what? I'm the only candidate that actually has started to do the actual
groundwork, laying the groundwork. Right. Yeah,
exactly. So I reached out to Scott Pressler and talked to him on Twitter. I said, Scott, I am pretty sure this is before all these other people got into the race. I said, look, I'm pretty sure I'm going to win this thing. So I want to bring you out. I want to bring you out to Colorado, and I want you to start teaching us how to legally ballot harvest in Colorado. So we'd have Scott Pressler, we'd have Chuck and myself, because I know how to do it as well. But the piece that all of my opponents don't get, I think Chuck does, but the others don't, is that you can't just walk up to somebody's door, 2 days before the election, knock on the door and get the ballot.
No.
Right.
You have to form that relationship. You got to be out there already so they know you. And that's why Scott has been so successful, because he started out picking up trash in the neighborhood.
Right.
And they said, what is this 6 foot tall something gay dude? Why is he picking up trash in my neighborhood? And he was in there so often that they got to know him.
Right.
And he said, you know, while we're here, we might as well register them to vote. So, and he's registering them to vote, some Democrat, but some Republican. So he's increasing the numbers. And then he says, while we're here, we might as well do some ballot harvesting. But he could do it because they saw him.
Right.
We can do the same exact thing here, but it's going to take somebody who understands that and can implement those strategies. OK,
right.
And then and I'm sorry to ramble, but I've been.
No, this is your time. We want to give you all the time you need here.
OK,
go ahead.
And then also, I have been in the African community, Ethiopian community, and the Black community. Now, what the challenge we had in the past with Derek Wilburn as the vice chair and Steve House as the chair. They were going into the Black community. And I know some of you listeners may not understand the different dynamics going on there, but the Black community is firmly in the grasp of the Democrats.
Okay.
In fact, most Black pastors aren't Christian pastors. They're Democrat pastors.
Right.
So Derek and Steve tried to reach out to these folks, and there was some buy-in, you know, they were kind of agreeing, but they just weren't moving off the Democrat dime. So what we have to do is start with the people who are most like us in ideology, family values, conservative, all that stuff. Well, that's the Ethiopian community. And there's 12,000 of them that vote. Yeah. So they endorsed Heidi and Danny's campaign this last cycle. They've endorsed me as the chair going into this race, because if we firmly secure me as chair, the Ethiopian community now is the tip of the spear. So then what happens is they go out to the rest of the African immigrant community who also vote.
Right.
But they lean Democrat. See, so the Ethiopians lean Republican, the rest of the African immigrants lean Democrat. And this is the dynamic that none of my opponents even understand.
Right.
So then the Ethiopian community gets us into the African immigrant community, and that will lead us back to the Black community.
Right.
Now, that's a long way around to get that vote.
Right.
That's years in the process.
But that's brilliant, though, Cash, because like you say, the Democrat, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think some of these pastors, they have sort of a vested interest in some of these Democrat policies, right? A lot of them get funds and grants and things like that. So what you're doing that's brilliant is you're just going around them. And again, you're going to go around them and then eventually come back in through the grassroots. You don't need to talk to the pastor if you're talking to the actual people in the pews, basically.
Yeah. We're gonna do in the Black community what Trump did in the Middle East. He just bypassed the Palestinian and went to the UAE and said, hey, look, this is a business deal, right? And he signed Abraham Accords. That went around those folks, and now he's coming back. Well, I mean, so anyway, the Hispanic community though is the immediate low hanging fruit. We can get a lot of the Hispanic community leaning in our direction, but we have to have some meaningful outreach. Now, thank goodness, Greg Lopez decided to join the, to become the president of the Colorado Hispanic Republicans.
Okay.
He is serious about getting the Hispanic community on board with the Republican Party. So between me as chair and him as the president of the Colorado Hispanic Republicans, I believe in one cycle, we will see measurable Hispanic involvement and engagement with the Republican Party. So that means that literally, by 2024, we could start winning some elections again. We could secure CD3 so that it's not going to potentially fall into the hands of the Democrats. And we can win in CD8 and even some others. And, then we can start looking at the next Senate race coming up and so forth. But there's a lot to this, guys. And I've been training for this for 10 years. And like I said a couple weeks ago, I may not be the candidate that people want, but I'm definitely the one that we need, this time.
Well, and let me tell you this too. I mean, a couple of things you said that I really like. When I was at the TV station, we had to do what you're calling community outreach. I think we call it community service or something like that, right? But you had to go out and you had to do the coat drives and you had to do this and you had to do that, because the TV stations pay marketing companies bazillions of dollars to make them realize that, hey, when you go out in the community, what do they say? People don't care how much until they know how much you care. Exactly. And so you do that. And then the theory is, of course, and they will watch your TV station, but it's the exact same thing. And not only that, you actually do accomplish some good things. And I think that's a good point. You're hitting a demographic there in particular that wants to do meaningful stuff, has the time and energy to do meaningful stuff. And it's exactly like you said, they're out there. So then it makes it easy for them to stay in touch with that community. And then come election time, like you said, you're not just showing up the day the ballots drop with some stranger. I mean, you're there, right? And the same with the outreach that you're doing. So those are great ideas, I think.
Yeah. And the Democrats have been doing this forever, by the way. It's not new. It's not something I created, right? The Democrats have been doing this forever. They are there. Okay. When I go to, to a Democrat a meeting, like a community meeting, NAACP or whatever, the Democrats are there.
Right.
When I go to Colorado Black Women for Political Action meeting, the Democrats are there. It doesn't matter. Planned Parenthood is there too.
And
a lot of other nonprofits.
Let me ask you, that's a great plan. And I want to ask you, because, and I know we've, talked about you with this before, but just for folks they haven't heard. So some of the big questions we've been asking the other guys are, open and closed primary. Your position on that.
Yeah. So I have been a part of the process of trying to close the primary for several years, just like you guys have as well. We've done fundraisers. I was on the lawsuit. So obviously, I definitely want to close the primary. But the challenge with closing the primary, now, The good news is when our primary closes through the lawsuit, so does the Democrats. So that's the good news. The bad news is the Democrats are going to say the whole time that we are trying to exclude minorities. You know, we're racist. They're going to come up with all kinds of names for us. Right. So we need to be prepared for that and make sure we're pushing back against that and not allowing them to put us in this crazy, crazy corner with them. Closing the primaries.
Right, exactly. Let me interrupt you 1 second. I don't mean to be distracting, but we've lost Chuck. So Thomas, if you want to go ahead and call Chuck back, then do that.
I'm here.
So yes.
Hello?
Oh, you, okay.
He's back.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'm back. Jasper, that's... Hey, I want to ask you this, Casper. Yes, I mean, I think what you said before was true, that, you know, we've got a lot of great grassroots people up there. And I certainly was impressed by our array when we went to the Republican Hispanic debate. How do we, you know, whoever becomes chair, how does he truly use the talents of all the great people that are running? Because as you know, well, what they usually do is they, like they did to you, they appoint you to the executive committee and then make sure you never
get heard from again.
If you do get heard from, they say, you can't vote for $5,000, because here's some, only the chair can do it.
Yeah. So are you asking me if I'm not the chair, how would another chair do it? Is that what you're asking me?
No, if you were the chair.
No, I mean, if you were the chair, how are you going to help employ the talents of the people you defeated?
That's easy. It's in my plan, in my written plan, by the way. That's how you had a written plan?
Right.
So, with some acronyms.
Exactly. So what any chair needs to do, but I'm probably the only chair that would do it, is we need an outreach committee. And a chair can create as many committees as they want, right? But we need an outreach committee that's actually focused on the things that I'm talking about. So even if I'm not the chair, Eric or Dave or whoever, Tina, they need to form a outreach committee and take it seriously. You know, they ask the question at the forum on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, where does it fall, and I'm like, it's at 11. And, you know, we're at the end of the game here. If we don't do this, it's over. Well, some would already say it's over already, but I'm just saying, you know, we have to do this. So outreach committee one, and then I want to hire at least one outreach director or coordinator, you know, whatever the title is, somebody that's their job. Now, initially, we won't probably have the funds for a full-time person. But we can definitely hire a part-time person pretty quickly. Here's what happens in the past. So the RNC, during election time, they pay for a outreach director, Hispanic outreach director. Normally it's somebody from out of state. Yeah. We don't even know who they are. You know, some little snot-nosed kid, 20-something years old in college.
Right.
They come into the state and it's supposed to be the director of outreach. They don't know anybody in the state, right? They barely speak Spanish and they're supposed to be our director, right? So the GOP, the state GOP, says, oh yeah, we got an outreach director coming into the state, and they act like that's some kind of big thing. You have alienated and humiliated all of our Hispanic leaders in the state by bringing in a 20-something year old from out of state that's going to tell us how to do Hispanic outreach.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. So we need to have our own Hispanic outreach person, start out part-time, and then we'll go to a full-time once we have the money.
What about, let me ask you, because another question we were asking everybody is, you know, you've seen the Senate Bill 101. Kent Theory has said he wants to try to get rid of the assembly process in the caucus. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I've only gone through the caucus and assembly process. That's my favorite way to get onto the ballot. I consider that to be the most grassroots way. I've heard Barb Kirkmeyer argue that, you know, ballots are more grassroots than that. I'm totally opposed to 101. It died the kill committee, but it's probably going to raise its head through some kind of a ballot measure or whatever. We need to be mindful of it. But if we start getting this train moving fast enough, we will just run over all that foolishness. We'll get back to where we're a viable party again. People are excited. The youth are involved. The Hispanic community is super involved, and by the way, not just get them involved so they can vote. We want more Hispanic candidates. We want them trained and running for office, and we want to be able to support them, like Ryan Gonzalez, when he was running in the CDA area. You know, we need to be able to do more of that. And my endorsement list looks like America. My opponent's endorsement list looks like the Grand Old Party, right? There's not a whole lot of change. But I got Jerry Natividad, Solomon Martinez, Pete Roybal, and I have some white people in there too, right?
Well, that's good. That's good.
You can have diversity. You got no Scott Adams and stuff here. Well, I guess, Chuck, do you have any more and any other questions too, direct? Specific? I mean, because. Whoop, you there? Whoop, Chuck is on the phone and glitching maybe. Yeah. Okay, well, let me cast for just...
I'm here.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be a battle royale. Do you have a whip count yet of how many delegates you've got?
I don't. Here's what's going to happen, though. First round is going to be Casper, first round, 50% plus one. And we're done. Because what's the point?
All right. Well, that's easy enough.
What is the point? Look, I love Tina, but what's the point of electing Tina? She's not going to bring any unity to the party. You know, it's going to be a dumpster fire, right? I love the other folks, but they're not going to bring the outreach piece, the unity piece that we need to move forward. So, and Eric's done. Right. He's been supported by Cory Gardner and Scott Gessler and, you know, the rest of the swamp. So he's done. Aaron is too new to the process. Really good guy. Super good guy. I want to bring Aaron in. OK, because he's a sharp guy.
Yeah,
he's a sharp guy. I want to bring him in. But the rest of I don't even know why they're in the race. Right. Because I support everything they support. And if they're not there, I can still move forward and do my outreach. But if I'm not there, they're going to have to reach out to me or Priscilla or somebody to do outreach. So with me, you get the entire package. With them, you get bits and pieces and you get a nice person.
Well, that makes that okay. I was going to final. That was pretty much summed it up for you. Any other final thoughts? And then again, like I've been asking everybody else, where can people go to find out more or help? And I know, you know, you're good about this kind of stuff. So final thoughts and then where to find you.
Yeah. My final thoughts are, look, folks, I've been training for this job for 10 years. I attempted it 2 years ago. I came in third. Do my support behind Christie, and she obviously won, and nothing changed.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, as opposed to what? Voting for Scott?
No, I know. We supported her, too.
We can't hold that Harry against Carey. You. We all should have killed ourselves.
No.
It's like either Scott or Christie. So most of us wanted Christie over Scott.
Right.
And had I had to do it over again, by the way, because Dave supported Christie, right? He should have supported me, but he supported Christie. So had I had to do over again, I probably would have still voted for Christie because I would not.
After I watched what she did to the party, I would not. As bad as Scott Gessler can be, he could not have been as bad as Christie Burton. But no human being of any gender or race or color or religious preference could have been worse than Christie.
Let Casper finish up.
Give me two years. I will prove to you what I've already been laying out. And then after that, I will gladly support any of these other awesome people that aren't going to make any change. I'll just, you know, concede to them after that. But give me 2 years to show you what I'm talking about. You can go to Casper4Colorado.com. That's forcolorado.com. I'm going to finish this race strong. If you are a voting member, you're going to be bombarded by me with voicemail messages, text mail messages. I'm having fun, if you haven't noticed yet.
And you're injured. So
I'm injured.
And you're injured. You're Wonder Warrior.
Sympathy vote.
There you go. All right, Casper, as always, it's always a wonderful
great to have you on, Casper.
Your time. Yeah. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, there, Casper Stocko. Unless somebody else announces here in the next couple of days, that pretty much wraps it up. I think, Chuck, you're absolutely right. Casper would be good. Dr. Sanders saying, thank you, Casper. There's stuff about, we're reading here stuff about other people and, I don't think we don't, because I want to move on to a different little topic, but I think you're right, Chuck, in that there's a lot of reason to be glad rather than being like, oh God, who are we going to vote for? The least bad person. Now we've got, the hard part is there's several good people, and which is the one that you think would be best. And that's a good place to be, I think.
Wadhams hates all the candidates. You're in good shape.
Right. And somebody wants to pop in. Sure.
Yeah. It's Jacob again.
Oh, hey, Jacob.
Okay. Two things. First of all, this Lori Lightfoot deal that she lost, it may be a positive thing for the Republicans because she was known for cheating and getting out the vote that the dead people vote in Chicago.
Well, the prison inmate vote. I think she had the guards trying to get the prison inmate vote as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The second thing is I hear everybody, they're all excited about ballot harvesting. I just want to make a suggestion. What they should be doing now is the party should get a copy of the voter rolls from, I guess, the Secretary of State, get them sorted by county, and then sort them by how often the person votes, whether they vote constantly or they don't vote at all or in between. And then you take all the people that don't vote at all or vote rarely, gather all those addresses and run a test with the post office to see if they're still living there.
Right.
Meaning they'll get, if they were to mail out something, would it be bounced back? I think that costs about $35.
Okay.
Then if you know that these addresses are bad or the people aren't there anymore, then you go and you send the new mailer, just mailers saying, you're not registered to vote. And then get them to register to vote. And then get this all gathered in by the time you have the school board elections. And then run a test. Right. And then again, and canvas, but canvas backwards. Canvas to the people that haven't voted yet, as opposed to the people that vote often.
Now, I've been saying that for a while, Jacob. There's a number of facets to it. Casper has one, that to go to communities, you need to start building the relationship with these communities.
Right.
Now, that's how they do it in California, and it works, right?
Right.
But I think you're also right. We need to, so often all we do are call the people who we know are going to vote because they voted in every election since 1960, right? And those people we can probably trust and they should be our lower priority. But I think you're right. You need to start reaching out because the Democrats do. My daughter was a registered Democrat for a while. She keeps reminding me she's not anymore, but she was registered here at my house, right? And the Democrats in 2016 knocked on the door every other day. They showed up at Halloween, for God's sakes, trick-or-treating looking for her, right? And when I said, well, she was out of town, they're like, well, when will she be back? And they came back. So you're absolutely right about that. We need to go. And she doesn't vote, I don't think, that much. So we need to be, I think you're right, identifying the people who might vote for us.
And the second thing is that when you get those cards back, that, when you run that test and you say, and they come back, the post office says, these people don't exist at these addresses anymore. Then get an affidavit to that. Then you got to go to the Secretary of State, and she's got to pull them off the voter rolls.
Well, theoretically, she won't. But no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, she doesn't have to do anything.
That's postal fraud.
Right. Okay.
She's great at postal fraud. That was their minor in college.
Jacob, let's go. Those are great ideas, but Casper's
they part. Have. But they have the government.
And then who's going to indict her? Phil Weiser.
Yeah, what? So no. The U.S. attorney. And there could be any U.S.
Who appointed that guy?
No, but Jacob, you're right. You got to try to do something. You got to try to do something with that.
Casper, go ahead. I want Jacob to form a organization, nonprofit or whatever, and do that, right? So we need to stop having people tell us all this wonderful stuff and start doing, right?
When I ran for clerk and recorder in 2007, I ran a test to see who's still there in the city. Well, this was only the city and county of Denver. Who's still there? And it cost me $35. And they sent out I guess they call it a pulse or something. They just send it out and it comes back. And the post office sends me a list of everybody who's moved, who has a forwarding address, and who doesn't have a forwarding address. And if they didn't have, if they had a forwarding address outside the county or even outside their district, not their district, their, you know, where, you know, from where they voted, because it,
right,
it changes the ballot.
Yeah.
It changes the ballot. That's postal fraud.
Okay.
That is postal. Yeah.
Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to assign you to the Election Integrity Task Force.
Uh-huh.
And then on that task force, I'm going to give it power to look into all the stuff you're talking about so we can really get to the bottom of it. And one more last thing. We're going to do ballot harvesting so well, the Democrats are going to make it illegal.
Right. Yeah, that is the key. I agree with you there too, Casper. The instant we start ballot harvesting as well as they do, they'll make it illegal and we won't have to worry about it. All right, Jacob, great concepts. Great idea.
All right. Okay, good luck. All right. Have a great day. Bye.
Let's see. Okay, so Chuck, we've only got about five more minutes. You want to switch real quick to the national divorce idea?
Well, it's interesting. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, to a great consternation of the left, said we should have a national divorce. And of course, in a lot of ways, we're already doing a national divorce.
Right.
I mean, all those people fleeing from California and New York and other places to Texas and Florida and Tennessee, people don't want to be governed by Democrats. And
right.
Places like Oregon, as you pointed out, you know, the rural
Idaho,
voters can't overcome the Portland one, so they want to get away with them. We all want to get. I mean, 30 years ago, if you told me, yeah, we want a national divorce, I said, no, I mean, you know, I love the arts and I love the museums and I love, well, they politicized all those. And so, yeah, get me away from these people who want to chemically castrate our kids. And this idea of children's entertainment is a drag show. I mean, how do I get away from these people as far as I can? So I think we should.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know logistically what that would look at, but I was thinking about this too. And I think sort of from a theoretical point of view, I mean, you think about what a marriage is, right? In a marriage, there always has to be give and take, right? You has to be a certain amount of live and let live. But the Democrats, if you're married, you know, in this marriage that we sort of have here, the Democrats are like,
abusive.
It's 100% us and 0% you, right? There is no, and that's, right. I think Republicans, we got to realize there's no, like when the people, the rhinos talk about unity and reaching across the aisle, there is no reaching across the aisle. I mean, because I was thinking of this, how do you reach across the aisle when they're crazy? When their idea is to cry, it doesn't matter what the facts are. We've seen that, right? Hunter Biden laptop, COVID, you can just go down the list, Russia, you know, the Russia hoax. It doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't even matter what common sense is, right? Like, does it make common sense to put male sex offenders who suddenly tell you that they're a female in jail with female inmates, rapes two of them, and then we put them back in? I mean, that doesn't even make sense, right? But they don't care. You can't have a relationship with a group of people who, you know, no common sense, facts don't matter. And not only that, they want to crush you and destroy you for disagreeing. I mean, you would never stay married to somebody like that. Well, you might, but you shouldn't, right? And so I think you're right. I know a thing or two about this. The concept is there. And the more I thought about it, it's like, how do you have a relationship? I mean, look at this bill that we had. What do we have? Stephanie Luck on talking about it, where she was proposing a bill. So Colorado, we have god-awful late-term abortion up until the moment of birth, literally, right? So if you want to have an abortion then, she wanted to pass a bill that said, okay, at least let's give the baby some pain medication before we brutally kill it.
Killing him.
Right. They
voted execution.
No. Yeah. Right. It's like, how can you have a relate? There is no middle ground there, right? If these people are like, no, kill the baby and give the mother pain medication, right? But don't give, I mean, how do you have a common ground with that? I mean, how do you have, you look at some of these homeless, the unhoused and all the craziness
unhoused.
About that is there's not common ground there. They've gone crazy, I think, and lost their mind. And again, in a relationship, there has to be give and take. And if there's not, then you have what they call irreconcilable differences.
Well, that's just a good phrase. That's what we have with the left, is irreconcilable differences. And we just got away from them. And people are trying as hard as they can, you know. And even Nevada said, hey, we don't want any more California people. Get out of here.
Well, and so that becomes a question. So what do you think, I mean, logistically, what does, you know, it's the same thing as a marriage. Okay. So let's say you're the person who's like, you know, I'm the abused spouse here. You know, this other person is crazy. We have irreconcilable differences. And then you get into the nitty gritty of, well, what does that look like? Right. Who gets custody? Who gets the possessions? Who lives in the house? Who moves, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And maybe you have plebiscites in each state on which of the two they'd like to belong to. And maybe you have to have some no man's land somewhere in I don't know, Missouri or something, which demarcates the two sides. But you know, once you decide to get a divorce, that's a big decision, right? How you divvy up yeah. all the assets? Well, that's
a good point, because then you quit wasting time trying to reconcile. That's a really good point. Again, I know a thing or two yeah. about this. Once you actually decide to get a divorce, you agree we have irreconcilable differences. You quit arguing with them about stuff, right?
Right. Just get out of my life.
You're right.
Wouldn't it be great if you could just say to Democrats and polis, and just get out of my life.
Yeah, not answering your call anymore. You know, and I'm canceling you. I'm deleting you from my Facebook page.
I'm blocking you.
Yeah. Oh, so we'll see. We've run out of time. We're going to have Scott Powell on Friday. He's a national commentator and author. I'm talking about the fact that the Biden administration, in its infinite wisdom, has decided in the next pandemic, he's not going to take emergency control. He's going to give it to the World Health Organization so they can tell us what to do. Because
yeah, that's right. We'll be in good shape then.
Yeah, we can't be trusted. And all kinds of other stuff going on, too. So, Chuck, great job today by the phone. Thank you to Casper Stockham, everybody on Zoom, and the great guys at BBS. We will see you all on Party Friday.
All right. Take care.